in the limelight.
Rarely in modern presidential history have words come back to bite an American commander-in-chief as swiftly as these from President Biden a little more than 5 weeks ago. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy of the United States in Afghanistan. Then, digging the hole deeper, he added, "The likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely." The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times White House and National Security Correspondent David Sanger. The piece is titled, "For Biden, Images of Defeat He Wanted to Avoid." Rarely in modern presidential history have words come back to bite an American commander-in-chief as swiftly as these from President Joe Biden a little more than 5 weeks ago. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy of the United States in Afghanistan. Then, digging the hole deeper, he added, "The likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely." On Sunday, 15th of August, the scramble to evacuate American civilians and embassy employees from Kabul, the very image that Joe Biden and his aides agreed they had to avoid during recent meetings in the Oval Office, unfolded live on television screens, not from the U.S. Embassy roof, but from the landing pad next to the building. And now that the Afghan government has collapsed with astonishing speed, the Taliban seems certain to be back in full control of the country when the anniversary of the September 11, 2001 attacks is commemorated less than a month from today, exactly as they were 20 summers ago. Joe Biden will go down in history, fairly or unfairly, as the president who presided over a long-brewing, humiliating final act in the American experiment in Afghanistan. After 7 months in which his administration seemed to exude much-needed competence, everything about America's last days in Afghanistan shattered that imagery. Even many of Joe Biden's allies who believe he made the right decision to finally exit a war that the United States could not win and that was no longer in its national interest concede he made a series of major mistakes in executing the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The only question is how politically damaging those will prove to be, or whether Americans who cheered at 2020 campaign rallies when both President Donald J. Trump and Joe Biden promised to get out of Afghanistan will shrug their shoulders and say that it had to end, even if it ended badly. Mr. Biden knew all the risks. He has often noted that he came to office with more foreign policy experience than any president in recent memory, arguably since Dwight Eisenhower. In meetings this spring about the coming U.S. withdrawal, Joe Biden told aides that it was crucial they avoid the kind of scenes that yielded the iconic photographs of Americans and Vietnamese scrambling up a ladder to a helicopter on the rooftop near the U.S. Embassy in Saigon, when it was frantically evacuated in 1975 as the Viet Cong swept into the city. Yet having decided in April to set the 11th of September anniversary as a date for the final American withdrawal from Afghanistan, he and his aides failed to get the interpreters and others who helped American forces out of the country fast enough, and they were mired in immigration paperwork. There was no reliable mechanism in place for contractors to keep the Afghan Air Force flying as Americans packed up. The plan Joe Biden talked about in late June to create what he called an over the horizon capability to bolster the Afghan military forces in case Kabul was threatened was only half-baked before those Afghan forces collapsed. By their own account, Mr. Biden's aides thought they had the luxury of time, maybe 18 months or so, because of intelligence assessments that wildly overestimated the capabilities of an Afghan army that disintegrated, often before shots were even fired. On 8th of July, the same day he said there was no need to worry about the imminent Taliban takeover of Afghanistan, Joe Biden said that relative to the training and capacity of the Afghan security forces, the Taliban are not even close in terms of their capacity. He now knows that what they lacked in capacity, they more than made up for in strategy, determination, and drive. There are lessons to be learned on how each administration handled Afghanistan from start to finish, and we owe it to the members of the US military and other Americans who put their lives in harm's way to plumb these lessons to inform future decision-making, said Michelle Flourney, who served as the number three official in the Pentagon in the Barack Obama administration and was a leading contender to become Joe Biden's Secretary of Defense. For the Biden administration, the question will be whether enough contingency planning was done to sustain critical counterterrorism operations and whether we meet our obligations to the Afghans who helped us reduce the risks associated with withdrawal and enable some continued support to keep the Afghan military viable. Even the most seasoned hand in the politics of South Asia, like Ryan Crocker, a retired career diplomat who served as an ambassador to Afghanistan under President Barack Obama and an ambassador to Iraq under President George W. Bush, thought there was more time. A prolonged civil war is a more likely outcome, frankly, Ryan Crocker said 7 days ago on ABC's This Week program, than a swift Taliban takeover of the entire country. But he went on to say that Mr. Biden had now taken complete ownership of President Donald Trump's commitments to exit the country. He owns it, Ryan Crocker said, and I think it is already an indelible stain on his presidency. On Sunday, 15th of August, Joe Biden was publicly silent. The White House released a photograph of him in a video briefing at Camp David. He appeared alone in the photograph, his aides beaming in. And it was left to them to explain why he thought, back in July, that the Afghan military forces would put up a tough fight. Republicans leapt on the images of Americans being evacuated from the US embassy in Kabul, naturally, and of Ashraf Ghani, Afghanistan's president, who fled without a succession plan and without a deal with the Taliban about the future governance of the country, an agreement envisioned in the Trump-era deal. Some of those Republicans had short memories. Many cheered on President George W. Bush when he ordered the invasion of Afghanistan to fight al-Qaeda. They went along when he kept adding objectives, building a model democracy, re-envisioning the Afghan military as a miniature version of United States military forces, even if that model didn't fit. They applauded when George W. Bush, in his second inaugural address in 2005, declared it would be the mission of the United States to promote democracy around the world. A decade later, they cheered Donald Trump for saying America would get out of unwinnable wars. On Sunday, they chastised Joe Biden for carrying through on the strategy as if it would be cost-free. I think it's an unmitigated disaster, Representative Michael McCaul of Texas said on CNN's State of the Union program on Sunday, contending that Afghanistan would return to a pre-9/11 state, a breeding ground for terrorism. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken countered that the U.S. ability to detect, track, and kill terrorists was far greater than it was two decades ago. But Michael McCaul, the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, seemed to be trying out themes for the next election season when he said of Joe Biden, he could have planned for it. He could have had a strategy for this. Now, he said, there is still no strategy other than the race to the airport and evacuate as many people as you can. In fact, there is a strategy, but not one that Joe Biden can easily sell amid the images of chaos in Kabul. To his mind, years of refashioning American foreign policy in reaction to the 11th of September 2001 attacks gave China room to rise and Russia room to disrupt. Getting out of Afghanistan is part of a broader effort to refocus on core strategic challenges and new threats from cyberspace to outer space. But this weekend was evidence that the past is never really in the past. The administration's defense against the criticism of its failure to move fast enough in Afghanistan has been to acknowledge it was taken by surprise by the speed of the collapse, but to insist there were plans in place. The Pentagon Press Secretary, John Kirby, said that a rehearsal of the evacuation effort was held as far back as May, and that U.S. Marines based on Iwo Jima were positioned to fly to Kabul. The reason why we have responded quickly in the past few days is because we were ready for this contingency, John Kirby said. But Joe Biden's own words make clear he was confident this day would not come for a long time, if ever. He repeatedly said he had no regrets about his decision and would bear no responsibility if the Taliban took over Afghanistan, in part because his predecessor Donald Trump had signed the deal in February of 2020 and set a 1st of May 2021 date for complete American withdrawal. Although Joe Biden extended the withdrawal date to 11th of September, almost all American troops were out of Afghanistan by early July. The result of the Trump-Taliban accord, Joe Biden said on Saturday, was that he was left facing a Taliban force in the strongest position militarily since 2001, and a date by which all American military forces has had to be out of the country. Anthony Blinken stepped around questions on Sunday about why more was not done earlier to get Afghan interpreters for the US military and other allies at risk of Taliban retaliation out of the country. He was also asked why more Americans were not moved earlier out of the embassy in Kabul, as many as the Pentagon had urged, before the scale of the collapse became apparent. The inability of Afghan security forces to defend their country has played a very powerful role, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said on Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press program. All of this is true, but it is Joe Biden who may be remembered for his role in widely overestimating the strength of the Afghan military forces and not moving fast enough when it became all clear that the scenarios he had been presented with were all wrong.